Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right here, you got some change in money in your pocket. Just do a cool thing and go to extralife.org and donate to some children's hospitals. My friend Cade Bengert, say his name right? I'm saying it right now, man. Sorry, I'm messing it up. But yeah, I'll leave a link. I'll share a page on the Facebook page and on Twitter so you can donate to Extra Life for Kids. Help those kids out, man. Do it.
Hello, and welcome to the Monster Legends Podcast. I'm your host, Tanner. And this episode, we'll be talking about the monsters in Arizona. But before that, well, how's your day going? Going pretty good? It's a Saturday right now. I'm recording this. And, how everything's going away? Pretty long week. Pretty sure I'll be working overtime. Hope I'm not working. No, I won't be working overtime because I'll be out. Okay. Anyway, before we get into the monsters, let's get into some fun little tidbits about Arizona. Arizona, the Grand Canyon State, achieved statehood on February 14, 1912, the last of the 48 contiguous United States to be admitted to the Union. Originally part of New Mexico, the land was ceded to the United States in 1848 and became a separate territory in 1863. Copper was discovered in 1854, and copper mining was Arizona's premier industry until the 1950s. After World War II, the widespread availability of refrigeration and air conditioning caused Arizona's population to boom, and Phoenix became one of the fastest growing cities in America. Arizona is the sixth largest state in the country in terms of area. Its population has always been predominantly urban, particularly since the mid-20th century, when urban and suburban areas began growing rapidly at the expense of the countryside. Some scholars believe that the state's name comes from a Basque phrase meaning place of oaks, while others attribute it to a Tohono or Don Bego Indian phrase meaning place of the young spring. Date of statehood, February 14th, 1912. Capital is Phoenix. Has a population in the 2010 census of 6,390,017 people. Has a size of 113,990 square miles. It's nicknamed the Grand Canyon State. Its motto is Dieta Dulce, which is God enriches. State tree is the Palo Verde. Or Palo or Palo? Flower is a Saguaro cactus blossom. The state bird is a cactus wren. Here's some interesting facts about Arizona. Formed by the Colorado River over a period of 3 to 6 million years, Arizona's Grand Canyon is 277 miles long, up to 18 miles wide. Well, really, that's pretty fucking wide. And 1 mile deep. What the fuck? It's crazy. Nearly 5 million people visit Grand Canyon National Park each year. It's a big old crack in the floor. Arizona has the greatest percentage of its acreage designated as Indian tribal land in the United States. Arabi, a Hopi Indian village dating back to at least 1150 AD, is believed to be the oldest continuously inhabited settlement in the United States. Official state flower is a Saguaro cactus blossom. The flower blooms in May and June in the middle of the night and closes the next day, surviving only 18 hours of pollination by nocturnal animals like bats and moths. The blossom grows on the Saguaro cactus, which can reach more than 50 feet tall and live for over 200 years. Wow. It's a good plant to have. Navajo Indians from Arizona were listed in transmitted secret communications for the U.S. Marines after Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor in 1941. Known as Navajo code talkers, these young men created an oral code the enemy was unable to decipher, fulfilling a crucial role during World War II and saving countless lives. Yeah, there's a good podcast about that stuff you should know. They have a good one, I think, yeah. Arizona is one of only two U.S. states that do not observe daylight savings time. The one exception is the area occupied by Navajo Nation in the northeast region of the state. Arizona's diverse climate and geography can yield both the highest and lowest temperatures in the country within the same day. Arizona's flag features a copper-colored star, acknowledging the state and Wisco's role as the leading copper producer in the United States. Pretty tough. Well, I'm gonna take a moment. Alrighty, okay. So, let's get these monsters in. Here's an article I found by Jonathan Duhamel on Arizona Independent. It was published December 28th, 2014. The Santa Cruz sand trout. The Santa Cruz sand trout is a native fish of the usually dry Santa Cruz River that runs through Tucson. Folks from wetter climates should realize that in Tucson we do not hide rivers underwater. The story of the sand trout shows how native fauna can adapt to climate change. One way to catch a Santa Cruz sand trout is to stop on the riverbank and look for clouds of dust in the riverbed as the trout try to get away. They didn't just run out and grab them. The late Hugh Hobbs has the most concise dissertation on this fish. He wrote the following as a satire of many endangered species listing proposals. As the last ice age ended, and the climate of southern Arizona warmed and dried out, the flows of the Santa Cruz River near Tucson became erratic and vanished completely by the mid-1950s due to the construction of a series of cheap hotels on its banks. The native fish of that stretch of river became extinct, with the exception of the Santa Cruz sand trout, which evolved a capability to live in an environment completely devoid of water. The Santa Cruz sand trout ranges in size from approximately 5 centimeters to over 100 centimeters. A meter? It's a pretty big fish.
and is characterized by a rubbery skin. It's difficult to tell whether a Santa Cruz sand trout is dead or alive due to its extremely low metabolism rate. The Santa Cruz sand trout has been commercially harvested and sold in Tucson toy stores for many years, delighting several generations of local children. There are many reports of Santa Cruz sand trout escaping Tucson homes and sales and residents in backyard sandboxes and local washes. The Santa Cruz sand trout is one of Baja Arizona's most highly prized sports fish, requiring the use of a 4x4 to troll the riverbed. Beer cans are reportedly the most effective artificial lure to catch sand trout. Efforts to restore the flow of the Santa Cruz River was treated sewage effluent have some environmental concerns, as this may cause destruction of the prime Santa Cruz sand trout habitat and lead to their extinction. The Santa Cruz sand trout can only survive short periods of wetness, just as occurred during the infrequent storm flows in the river. A petition to have the Santa Cruz sand trout declared an endangered species is being prepared for the Baja Arizona Ministry of Commercial Fisheries. The Santa Cruz sand trout has also been nominated for an award for water conservation efficiency, as the only known Arizona species of fish requires 0 gallons per capita of water to survive. Wow, that's crazy. Arizona stick lizard, aka Sonora Desert stick lizard. The desert floor can get very hot. In summer air, temperatures within 1 inch of the ground can get as hot as 160 degrees Fahrenheit. What is a lizard to do? The Arizona stick lizard has a clever adaptation. It carries a stick which it can plunge into the sand and climb the stick to avoid burning its feet. Or a lizard can use a stick to pole vault over the hot spots. Sometimes that the lizard can cool off its own shadow while on stick. The stick serves another purpose as well. It makes the lizard too wide to be swallowed by snakes. Jackalopes, also known as horned rabbits and deer bunnies. Jackalope is a hybrid between jackrabbits and antelope or deer. This critter, which has long been in folklore, was made famous in a postcard devised by a photographer, Bob Peeling. Jackalopes are said to be fierce creatures which use their antlers to fight off other animals. They are also whimsical. Jackalopes possess an uncanny ability to mimic human sounds. In the Old West, when cowboys would gather by the campfires to sing at night, jackalopes would frequently be heard singing back, mimicking the voices of the cowboys. Jackalopes became especially vocal before thunderstorms, perhaps because they mate only when lightning flashes, or so it is theorized. When chased, the jackalopes will use its vocal abilities to elude capture. For instance, when chased by people, it will call out phrases such as, "There he goes over there," in order to throw pursuers off its track. The best way to catch a jackalope is to lure it with whiskey, as they have a particular fondness for this drink. Once intoxicated, the animal becomes slower and easier to hunt. Jackalope milk is particularly sought after because it is believed to be a powerful aphrodisiac, for which reason it's also referred to as the horny rabbit. However, it can be incredibly dangerous to milk a jackalope, and any attempt to do so is not advised. A peculiar feature of the milk that it comes from the animals already homogenized on account of the creature's powerful leaps. Jackalopes are not confirmed to Arizona. Wyoming claims to be the jackalope capital of America. In 2005, the state legislature of Wyoming considered a bill to make the jackalope the state's official mythological creature. It passed the House by a 45-12-12 margin, but the session ended up before the Senate could take up the bill, and so it died. Jackalope animals were reported in Europe as early as the 16th century. This was probably due to the current survivors with antlers like tumors on their heads, result of papillomavirus infections, even better mentioned horned rabbits. Why are you repeating yourself? Okay. It's just like, this is saying, "Hey guy, you need," oh, whatever. that's that. What's up next? What's up next? Papa. Hey, while you're here, you got some change in money in your pocket. Just do a cool thing and go to extralife.org and donate to some children's hospitals. My friend, Cade Bengert. Is that his name right? I'm saying it right now, man. Sorry for messing it up. But, yeah. I'll leave a link. I'll share it. Page on the Facebook page and on Twitter, so you can donate to Extra Life for Kids. Help those kids out, man. Do it. Okay. Alrighty, hey, what's up? Okay. Next up, we got another article from the Prescott Arizona History. Blogspot.com. I think it's by Drew Desmond. This article is Nine Cryptid Monsters of Arizona. It was published March 20th, 2016. First up is the troll. A man named I.W. Stevens reported seeing the creature near the Grand Canyon. It had long white hair and matted beard that reached to its knees. It wore no clothing, and upon its talon-like fingers were claws, at least 2 inches long. Upon closer inspection, he noted a coat of gray hair nearly covered his body, with here and there a spot of dirty skin showing. He saw the creature drinking the blood from 2 belled cougars, and when it saw him, it picked up a club and screamed at him. Though by many to be a medieval fairy tale, the troll has been spotted in European forests for centuries, even to this day. Perhaps surprisingly, the most recent recorded sighting of a troll on the Mogollon Rim occurred late in 2013 and was posted by Cryptozoology News. A 28-year-old woman believes she came across an unidentified animal while hiking the Canyon Point Trail located in the region of the Mogollon Rim. Yi Estevez, a sociology student, claims she was alone at the time of the incident, said she saw a troll-looking creature drinking from a pool of water. It was on its knees, drinking water, when I found it. Drinking, making noises like a pig. So at first sight, the animal looked like a pig to me, but upon closer inspection, she saw that it had long hair, gray and bluish, and I swear it looked like one of those trolls from a fairy tale. Ugly stuff. The face was human-looking, no hair on it, but full of bumps. The eyes were kind of a brown-red, thick, big nose, small lips, no expression on its face at all. And it took off running like a person. Alright. That's pretty crazy. I'll get you some coffee. Alright, okay. Bigfoot. Evidence and signs of Bigfoot in Arizona are so frequent, it would take a book to cover them. Oh. The Bigfoot Research Organization, BFRO, lists at least 32 sightings in Cocino County and at least 8 reports of Bigfoot in Yavapai County, but these lists are hardly inclusive of them all. During the 1980s, evidence of Bigfoot living in Hell's Canyon near Drake, Arizona was reported by some dead wood harvesters.
We used to cut firewood in the Kiabi National Forest and saw many tracks many times. Initially, a possible living quarters was discovered. A site that was most bizarre was a cave with a very big tree covering the entrance. Often, reports of this elusive beast involve a piercing, sometimes deafening scream or howl, like that produced by any known wildlife. Those who say they cross paths with the beast regularly describe an eerie silence prior to the encounter, and an appreciable stillness in the woods that commonly surrounds predatory animals. More common are reports of a strong, very foul stench, which has been described as that of dead fish, a skunk with bad body odor, a decaying peat moss, and by some with an exceptionally keen sense of smell, apparently the musk of a snapping turtle.
Oh, I can't talk.
Local Indian legends. Local Indian legend believes that some Bigfoots live at the Mogollon Rim in the wintertime for the Sierra Prieta Mountains of the Prescott National Forests. The Native American people living in the area, particularly in the White Mountain Apache Nation, have had encounters as well. In 2006, Colette Ataha said, "We're not prone to easily talk to outsiders, but there have been more signs than before, even ever before. It cannot be ignored any longer." But Jory Grimes, a resident of nearby White River, said, "It was all black, and it was tall. The way it walked, it was taking big strides. I put on the brakes and raced back in between two trees where it was, and it was gone." Tribal Police Lieutenant Ray Burnett said, "A couple of times, they've seen this creature looking through their windows. They're scared when they call us. They weren't hallucinating. They weren't drunk. They weren't people that we know can make hoax calls. They're from real citizens of the Fort Apache Indian Reservation." Author, a recreational hiker, never looked for signs of Bigfoot. However, while hiking west of Thumb Butte, he was surprised to find a mysterious tree break. Many Bigfoot researchers believe these tree breaks are a sign of Bigfoot's presence and a potential marking of his territory. However, the author readily admits that what he found was Class C evidence at best and will not convince a single skeptic. The break in the pine picture was just as of 8 feet off the ground. Although the shadows of other trees are deceiving, no actual logs, rocks, or fallen trees were anywhere near the broken pine to explain how it was snapped. That is weird. It's like a single tree that's like, you know, like, if this damage was caused by a microburst or dust devil, why wasn't the adjacent tree damaged instead of only inches away? Was it a bear? Could be. But why would a bear climb this tree when others, far shorter ones, were right nearby? This was from a Bigfoot. One would expect some other signs, perhaps. Other tree breaks. The author started searching and did not find any more fresh breaks, but he did find what could be old breaks. For the most part, the ground at this glacier is generally very hard and often shallow. However, in certain places, one can easily find the tracks of rabbits, coyotes, deer, to leaving even an occasional mountain lion. This author has never seen a Bigfoot track and perhaps still has. Yet close by the broken pine, he found a depression in the woods. It's weird. As stated at the outset, toes at the top of the depression measured 6.5 inches wide. The length faded out onto hard ground, but seemed to be maybe 14 to 15 inches. In the future, the rider generally will continue to not look for Bigfoot because he does not want to find them. Yet that 8-foot-tall tree brick is certainly a curiosity. Okay. A giant jackrabbit. Now for perhaps the least intimidating monster on the list, the giant jackrabbit. Perhaps the idea of a giant jackrabbit gate grazing about northern Arizona forests may seem outlandish, if not humorous, but such as the animal undoubtedly did exist, at least in the past. Archaeologists have discovered fossils of Neuralgus rex, which could easily be carved as a giant jackrabbit on most of the Earth's continents. The 26-pound prehistoric species is about 6 times bigger than the common European rabbit, according to an analysis of several bones. As late as 2006, residents of Felton, northeast England, have confirmed that a huge, floppy-eared creature is living behind giant paw prints in a trail of destroyed carrots, leeks, onions, and turnips, followed nighttime raids. As far as northern Arizona goes, author and Bigfoot researcher Mitchell Waite says that his team spotted the giant jackrabbit, but claimed that when they attempted to capture it on video, the camera malfunctioned accidentally. Some bitch, I'm saying that. The rabbit was sitting near the water tower. He said, "It's watching me, sitting its hind legs with its ears up." This lagomorph creature, he claims, has been spotted by several witnesses in the past. Could a Neuralgus rex have continued to survive in the forests of Arizona? They're crazy creatures. Cave dwellers. Okay, we got the asswine. Near the town of Two Guns, Arizona, inside the Apache Death Cave, lives the asswine, a shape-shifting vampiric creature that was first sighted hundreds of years ago in the Philippines. It makes it sound like a rattlesnake, has razor-sharp claws, and sucks unborn feces from its prey. It's sometimes been mistaken for the chupacabra. However, the asswine is able to flatten its body like a mouse to get through tight squeezes, perfect for cave dwelling. Observably, pregnant cows near Two Guns have recently been found dead with their fetus calves missing. Asswines are shapeshifters. Stories recount asswines living as regular townspeople. As regular people, they are quiet, shy, and elusive. At night, they transform into creatures such as a cat, bat, bird, boar, or most often a dog. Reportedly, they enjoy eating unborn fetuses and small children, favoring livers and hearts. Some have long proboscises, which they use to suck the unborn out of the mother's wombs when they are sleeping in their homes. Some are so thin they hide themselves behind a bamboo post. In late May 2015, TV5 of the Philippines reported a rash of asswine attacks around Cotabato City, including this picture of the aftermath of the reported asswine attack. Well, that's great. When they aren't shape-shifting, asswines are scrawny, emaciated things with gray and molted skin and milk-white eyes. They are as cold-looking as they are motion-free. Sores and boils cover their bodies. They give off a stench of rotting meat. Despite their rotted appearance and odor, the asswines are highly athletic, having the ability to run at phenomenal speeds and leap to heights of around 15 feet or more as they pursue their terrified victims. Although few have heard of that LTO, it has been spotted around the world, including the Arizona rainforest. Amazon rainforest. The only known sighting of the LTO by science occurred in 1932 by famed explorer and cryptozoologist Ivan T. Sanderson.
Cameroon African rainforest. While exploring the river system in Essmumbo Mountains, Sanderson and his hunting partner, Gerald Russell, were reportedly attacked by as they were shooting smaller bass along the stream. Described as a giant avian creature with a wingspan about between 10 to 12 feet in length, this king of bass is reportedly the most active in twilight hours and lives in caves and volcanic lava tubes. In northern Arizona, this fearsome creature killer reportedly lives in the lava tubes surrounding Humphreys Peak near Flagstaff. One recent witness named Angela saw the Atio while driving through Oak Creek Canyon on State Route 89A. But the beast noticed her, it took off into the air and disappeared. Another recent witness is a veterinarian assistant named Anderson who described to a local pet that was brought in. It looked like it had been dropped from several hundred feet far away from any height. It could have been dropped by an LCO. What could have caused such a situation? Okay. The rake. Making its home in the Grand Canyon Caverns near Peach Springs, Arizona, the rake is a nocturnal 9-foot-tall flesh eater. Its claws are supposed to be as long as a human fingers. It is a deadly, pale, human-like monster that gives off a high-pitched scream. Sightings and encounters with the rake have been allegedly been reported since the 1800s. Several diary and journal entries have been found which documented the horrifying attacks of the creature. At least one person who committed suicide in the 1960s left a suicide note that mentioned the monster. One of the strange characters of this creature is its ability to shut off electricity. Peach Springs has suffered such strange power outages recently, even when the weather was calm. A bar owner named Brian related that he closed his bar early at 2 a.m. due to a strange power outage. Hearing a commotion near the garbage, Brian looked over and was surprised to see a grayish, human-like figure that he cried was definitely not human. A former gravedigger named Jeremy related seeing a gray, white, humanoid figure dart by as he was working as his old job at the Peach Springs Cemetery. One can rent the Grand Canyon camera for the night. There's a Thunderbird. A picture of it. Tombstone. Reptoid. In early February 2014, a group of three bikers saw a reptilian humanoid in the Sonora Desert. It's about 6 foot tall, very, very skinny. It had an awkward gait like a monkey. One witness said. He stopped and made eye contact with me, and I could see him clearly. The eyes were kind of like a snake's, but black, with a yellow knife in the middle of the eye. It had green and red scales on its face and head. The red color was kind of like the same as a desert sand there. And look, it had a sandy feature too. It didn't have a nose, only two holes in it. I couldn't see any ears or hair. A red mouth that looked like it had blood around it, but it didn't look like it was bleeding. It looked like a pattern. It reminded me of a chameleon, but it looked like a person too. The creature raised its long arms with strange-looking claws that looked like a branch of thorns and waved at them. It made a loud chattering sound with its teeth. Then it rapidly ran away, leaving the trio in shock. Damn reptilians, man. The chupacabra. One of the first reported sightings of a chupacabra happened in Tucson. Two men were roused out of bed by the loud shrieking of the goats. They went to check and see what all the commotion was about. They saw a weird-looking beast on top of one of the goats. The dog-like creature looked at them and unleashed an eerie screech and then scampered off. In 2003, there was a second Tucson sighting, similar to the first. There are many legends in Indian lore of a strange creatures living in Arizona. One wonders how many it could be. Yeah. That's pretty crazy stuff. We'll take a quick break.
We all know real life can suck sometimes, and your boss accidentally seeing you in your underpants on Zoom last week doesn't help any.
That's why reluctantly codependent sisters, the Shira and Rashalia, keep you enthralled and in stitches every week with their podcast, Legendary Africa.
Every Monday and Friday, we take you on a journey of mythical lands, magical objects, and monstrous creatures, both ancient and modern.
Find Legendary Africa on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever you feed your ears. And remember, stay safe,
stay sexy,
and stay legendary.
Hey, while you're here, you got some change in money in your pocket, just do a cool thing and go to extralife.org and donate to some children's hospitals. My friend, Cade Bengert, is that his name right? I hope I'm saying that right now, man. Sorry for messing it up. But, yeah. I'll leave a link. I'll share his page on the Facebook page and on Twitter. So you can donate to Extra Life for Kids. Help those kids out, man. Do it. Okay, I'm back. Alright, this next article is from CopperStateCrypto.com. It's by Mark Robbins. It was published on October 15th, 2018. Arizona mini T-Rex. Are there dinosaurs similar to T-Rexes and Velociraptors roaming the wilds of the American Southwest? With so many signs, it appears that there is something that is going on with this. Also known as river lizards, these reptiles frequent the Four Corners area of Arizona and like to hang out around ponds and rivers. They are about 3 to 6 feet long, run on two legs with two small arms and a long tapered tail. In reports, they are very much described just like a Velociraptor. Arizona Thunderbirds, Arizona Pterodactyls. Are pterodactyls extinct? Maybe not. They have been reported here in Arizona and several other states as well as across the world in recent times. The Tombstone Epitaph on April 26, 1980 posts an article of an account of a huge winged creature which was found by two rangers between the Huachuca and Whetstone Mountains. The monstrous was reported to look like an alligator with an elongated tail and a set of massive bat-like wings. When the ranchers discovered the beast, it was allegedly exhausted and only capable of a short burst of flight. The ranchers chased the strange creature for several miles on horseback as it took to the air to retreat in short, sporadic flights. Occasionally getting within range, they engaged it with their rifles and wounded in the process. At one point, they were able to shoot it dead. Afterwards, ranchers measured it and found the body to be roughly 92 feet in length. With 2 feet, they were joined to the body just under massive wings. They were awkwardly folded under the body. When the wings had been properly stretched out, they were said to be around 160 feet in diameter from tip to tip. And the enormous head of the beast was reported as measuring 8 feet long, with strong jaws filled with formidable sharp teeth
eyes the size of dinner plates. That's fucking huge. The human's wings were apparently covered by some sort of thin membrane, and the whole body covered with rather thin, almost translucent skin without hair or feathers. A Phoenix, Arizona man claimed in 2011 to have seen a large bird-like creature with leathery wings, no feathers, and a thing coming out of its back of its head, swooped to the land and splashed about on the surface of a river. In 2012, one individual claimed to have seen a baby pterodactyl, or looked like to be a baby pterodactyl, under a bridge in Tucson, Arizona. It was reported to have about an 8-foot wingspan and covered in white fur, the head sporting a top knot. Wow, that's crazy. Arizona giant snakes. Navajo and Hopi tribes of Arizona have a long tradition of a big, if not giant, snakes in their respective cultures. In 2005 and 2007, there were sightings of large aquatic snakes at various locations at the San Juan River in the Four Corners area of southern eastern Utah. One of these snakes made its way from the river onto the bank and reared itself up on the back bumper of a truck, which is parked about 120 feet from the river's edge. The serpent was described to be about 10 to 12 feet inches in diameter and darker color with markings similar to those of an Indian Burmese python or a species of anaconda. There were similar sightings of a snake in the San Juan River reported to be about 30 feet in length. It's possible that the python species, or possible several types of pythons, have been dumped into our southwestern river systems. Wow. Good stuff. Right here. Dogman. Here's another post by article by Mark Robbins. That was March 4th, 2018. Do dogman cryptids exist in Arizona? Let there be no doubt that they do. Listen to Corey Firth tell his story on Dogman Encounters Radio and decide for yourself. His encounters happened at Apache Lake. His map. Arizona had a few dogman reports. This map does not track all dogman reports in Arizona. Most occurrences on this map are the Four Corners area of the state, even one in Tempe. I have also heard reports along the Texas-Mexican border of illegals being stalked, harassed, and pursued by these creatures. It stands to reason we have similar issues along our border here in Arizona. Dogmen have been reported as far south as Cushy County along the Arizona Mexican border, that's low elevation Sonora Desert. Lots of mesquite and palo verde trees, scrub brush with prickly pear cactus and autotillo. It's like double L on first. Alright, no. The terrain itself has a lot of low hills and washes, and it's home to coyotes, bobcats, foxes, tortoises, hyena. Let me look that up. I'm not sure what that is. Rabbits, mule deer, and many kinds of reptiles. Not to forget our farm and ranches, plus the small communities with the irrigation systems, stock ponds, and swimming pools, there's plenty of options to feed and water dogmen here. We also have sky islands here, covering southeastern Arizona, southwestern New Mexico, and northwestern Mexico. The 770,000 square miles sky islands among the most diverse ecosystems in the world. Many of the sky islands are protected as state and national parks and are popular recreation areas and vacation getaways. Several Several of Arizona's observatories are located atop Skyline Peaks. Arizona Skyline ranges include the Bob Cuivi Mountains, Whetstone Mountains, Chikawa Mountains, Hachuka Mountains, Pinalino Mountains, Santa Catalina Mountains, and Santa Rita Mountains. Where deserts and forests are common together, skylines offer a blend of tropical and temperate climates that can sustain many creatures and are often the locations of streams, rivers, and other riparian areas. Usually 6,000 to 8,000 feet in elevation, these majestic hills emerge from a sea of desert scrubs and provide an oasis from abundance of wildlife. The Sky Island Alliance knows that the region reported diversity seen anywhere else in the United States, supporting well over half the bird species of North America, 29 bat species, over 3,000 species of plants, and 100 species of mammals, 104 species of mammals, such as the mountain lion and black bear, Arizona black rattlesnake, several species of deer, turkey, the Mexican spotted owl, and other raptors. All of these skylines can support a dogman population. What is a dogman? By Mark Robbins. What is Dogman? Published by Mark Robbins again, February 17, 2018. The Dogman phenomenon is a relatively new thing in the world of cryptozoology. To be clear, by Dogman, I'm referring to an animal not a werewolf or a skinwalker, both of whom are able to chase with or assume humans in animal forms. I'm talking about a creature that lives as a canine 24/7, each and every day of its existence. I can't talk, man. They have this existed, I believe, since the dawn of man. With the advent of the digital age, we are starting to see and hear reports of these beasts with other occurrences. Dogmen have reported all over the world, seen in the United States as well as Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Germany, England, and Australia, to mention a few countries. They've been seen in the wilderness as well as urban areas. Day or night, it's possible that you can experience a dogman encounter. Below are links to a few familiar dogman states. Linda Dogman Encounters Radio. Linda Godfrey has some books on it. In North American Dogman Project. What sets this canine type dogman apart from their type 3 cousins is they have canine legs instead of ankles. They have hocks and stiffle joints instead of knees. Another feature canine dogmen have inscribed as having is raccoon hands with long nails. Another distinction of the canine type dogman is that they're more prone to be more aggressive than the type 3s with any type dogman, always exercise extreme caution. Here's some. The canine variant 1 is described as an upright timber wolf with arms and paws, the kind of hand in front of it. The canine variant 2 is described looking like a hyena, primarily to stay on all fours. This type is popular here in the West, like California. The canine variant 3 is described as similar to the werewolves in the Underworld or Van Helsing movies. This type is the most commonly reported dogman seen and has no geographic limits. It has been seen all over the world. The canine variant 4, also known as the soldier type dogman, what sets this variant apart from other dogmen is the size of its huge head. The soldier type is here to be the most aggressive type dogman. You can run into a soldier type anywhere in the United States. Damn, you know fucking. Are type 3 really canine animals? I personally don't believe so, but there are. That's off Sasquatches, at least not proven scientifically. However, they've been lumped into the dogman category. Type 3s are usually described as having. Usually described as looking like Bigfoot with a muzzle instead of having a flat face. And another extinction is that they have claws on their fingers and toes.
instead of fingernails and toenails like a Sasquatch does. Type 3s also have hominid-style legs with knees and ankles, just like Sasquatch. They have sharp canine teeth, and primates do not. With any dogman, always exercise extreme caution. Type 3 variant 1 is described with a hominid body and a tall and lean with a baboon type of head and pointed ears. Type 3 variant 2 is described with hominid type legs, the body of a man, but with a head that looks like the werewolf in American Werewolf in London. Type 3 variant is described with a hominid body and a stocky bill with a muzzle. This variant also matches the same description as the Bigfoot Type 3. The Beast of Seven Chutes is a Type 3 variant 3. This type is primarily seen in southern states, but has been reported in northern states as well. This is a type of dominant J. Tucker Skyler in Mississippi. Is this a dominant, a Bigfoot, or a crossbreeding? I don't care who you are. Look at these mugshots. I don't. Anyone in the right mind would want to run into one of these. Maybe into the forest area or next to your garage at home. Any experience with one of these will more than likely have a negative impact on you. PTSD, nightmares, even under the bed, best circumstances, these things are still very scary and intimidating to say the least. Wow. Such some stuff. She has some. Okay. Well, let's take a quick break. Hey, while you're here, you got some change in money in your pocket. Let's do a cool thing and go to extralife.org. And donate to some children's hospitals. My friend, Cade Bengert. Is that his name right? Hope I'm saying that right now, man. Sorry, I'm messing it up. But, yeah. I will leave a link. I'll share his page on the Facebook page and on Twitter. So you can donate to Extra Life for Kids. Help those kids out, man. Do it. Alrighty, we're back. Hope you guys join the show. So we got here. This article by Jason Offit from mysteriousuniverse.org, post March 10th, 2015. Dragons. Farther south in Tombstone, a 1800s boomtown that was the location of the famous gunfight at the OK Corral between the Clayton Gang and the lawmen Wyatt Virgil and Morgan Earp and Doc Holliday. Tombstone was also known for a dragon. According to Mysteries and Miracles of Arizona by Jack Klutz, two cowboys rode into Tombstone on 7th of June, 1890 with the skin of what they claimed to be a giant flying lizard they killed outside town. The cowboys chased the beast on horseback before shooting and killing it. The dragon measured 92 feet long with 80 foot wingspan, an 8 foot long head, and eyes size. Oh, that sounds a little bit like something we were here before, haven't it? No. The size of dinner plates. The cowboys claimed the battle was captured in 26 April 1890, Tombstone Epitaph newspaper. Werewolves. Werewolves in various forms have existed in many cultures across the world, from the medieval European werewolf that dominates horror movies to American Indian skinwalkers. The image of a man changing into a beast has terrified people for centuries, but sitting safely in a cozy house watching television
The world of stalking tonight is nothing but legend. For a group of teenagers in Tempe, Arizona, that idea is dead wrong. From a 2009 interview, the glow of city lights bathed Arizona at night in gray as four teenagers walked onto the Shimalar Golf Course in Tempe. Carl Davis, now an adult, was in high school when he and his friends, bored with their weekly Bible study meeting, walked outside onto the course. My girlfriend said something like, "Hey, something just jumped out of the palm trees," Davis said. The trees were approximately 35 feet tall, so other teens laughed and resumed their conversation. A few seconds later, she lets out a pure blood-curdling scream, just pure shock terror, Davis said. As Davis turned towards the girlfriend, he saw something he couldn't believe. I looked in the direction, and there's a creature lumbering along the walls toward us, Davis said. It was as tall as me, 6 foot, hunched over, huge snout, like a werewolf. Oh. A beast, blacker than the night, surrounding it, lunged towards the teens and they ran. It was chasing after us, David said. It was running along the wall toward me, and I just turned and ran, and I didn't think to look back. Teens never saw the thing again, although something about the encounter still confuses Dave. It was in the middle of town, he said. That's what always gets me about that thing. Not in the woods or at a secluded cabin, but in Tempe, Arizona. Giants. Gigantic human remains, sometimes with red hair, have been reported across America, many of them in the desert southwest. A giant human skull was once found in a cliff dwelling south of Winslow, Arizona. According to The Complete Guide to Mysterious Beings by great paranormal investigator John Keel, it was so big that a size 7 East Denson was placed on it, and it looked like one of those tiny hats merrymakers wear on New Year's. The skull also had a gold tooth. Workers reportedly discovered a huge stone coffin in Fort Crittenden, Arizona in 1891. The coffin held a skeleton that measured 12 feet tall and had 12 toes. A man named Samuel Hubbard is said to have found the mummified bodies of two giant humans, 15 to 18 feet tall, in a cave in the Grand Canyon in 1923. This is 14 years after the Phoenix Gazette published the account of explorer G.E. Kincaid, who said he discovered a cave in the canyon filled with Egyptian artifacts, including mummies. Great. All right. Now, next up, we'll talk about the most famous monster here in a little bit up in Arizona. Stay tuned. Hey, while you're here, you got some change in money in your pocket, let's do a cool thing and go to extralife.org and donate to some children's hospitals. My friend, Cade Bengert, is that his name right? I hope I'm saying it right now, man. Sorry, I'm messing it up. But, yeah. I'll leave a link. I'll share his page on the Facebook page and on Twitter. So you can donate to Extra Life for Kids. Help these kids out, man. Do it. Alrighty, now for the most famous monster in Arizona, the Mogollon Monster. The Mogollon Rim is an almost 2,000-foot escarpment that runs through the central part of Arizona, covered in ponderosa pine forest. It's a perfect hiding place for the Mogollon Monster. First reported in Arizona for Brooklyn in 1903, I.W. Stevens encountered the bipedal Mongolian monster close to the Grand Canyon. It was drinking the blood of mountain lions. This human-looking creature, with long white hair and beard that reached to his knees, sported 2-inch claws on its fingers. The monster noticed Stevens and threatened him with a club. Yes. Throughout the years, the Mongolian monster has been described as black, gray, or white, square-headed, around, bald parts of a tall, hair-covered being on two legs, a human-like, hairless face. Although many people have equated the monster to Bigfoot, one hiker claims the monster is a troll when hiking the Mongolian Rim Canyon. Point Sinkhole Trail. The hiker saw the creature on its knees drinking water from a pool, making noises like a pig. The troll had long bluish-gray hair and a human-like face full of bumps. When it saw her, the troll stood on its two legs and ran away. This sounds much more like the Clubfoot and Bloodsucker from 1903 than a Bigfoot. So, is the Mongolian monster a troll? Is that what I'm saying? Let's find out. Okay. Here's some article by Kate Thompson. When I was a kid in Phoenix in the early 60s, I spent a week every summer at a Boy Scout campsite east of Pine, just below the Mongolian Rim. Sometimes late at night, around a campfire, the older scouts would regale us with tales of attacks on ranchers and campers by the Mongolian monster. Has anyone claimed to have seen Harry Ateman in Arizona recently? No wisecracks about your masters, please. No wisecracks about my masters. That's going to cramp my style. The Mongolian monster is Arizona's version of Bigfoot. It supposedly lives, as you may guess it, along the Mongolian Rim. Although it has allegedly been spotted around Prescott in the Grand Canyon, it seems to be a shy thing, but every now and then it tears up a campsite or takes the camper's food. Don Davis, a cryptozoology investigator who died in 2002, claimed that he encountered the monster at a Boy Scout camp near Payson in the 1940s, he reported. The creature was huge. Its eyes were deep set and hard to see, but they seemed expressionless. His face seemed to be pretty much devoid of hair, but there seemed to be hair along the sides of his face. His chest, shoulders, and arms were massive, especially the upper arms, easily upward of 6 inches in diameter. Perhaps much more. I could see he was pretty hairy, but didn't observe really how thick the body hair was. The face head was very square, square size and squared up chin, like a box. There's also a count. Let me see here. Let me find another thing real quick. It's by weirdus.com. Mongolian monster. The Sasquatch has for decades served as frontman for the peculiar field of cryptozoology. He has drudged his way enormous step to popular folklore, the sightings of the beasts, surfacing with a notable regularity. The creature has made its presence known in various widely separated spots around the globe. Yeti pops up among the millions, the ever popular Bigfoot emerges really frequently in the Pacific Northwest, and Texas has reported numerous encounters with the amply named Big Thicket Wild Man. Yet, few know that a member of this brotherhood of hairy hominids makes its home here in Arizona. He is known as the Mongolian Monster. The reclusive creature is described as being at least 7 feet tall, hairless in the face, but otherwise covers long, thick coat of either dark or reddish brown hair. It travels the wide, inhuman stride, sometimes leaving footprints measuring 22 inches in length. Often reports of the elusive beast involve a piercing, sometimes deafening scream or howl, unlike the produced by any known wildlife. Though who said they crossed paths with the beast have rarely described an eerie signs prior to the encounter. I appreciate it. It sounds like I've read this before. Lumbering, near-pacing creature. And yeah. Well, okay. Okay. It's from canyonnotes.com. The legend of Arizona's Mongolian monster, as you need another reason to visit the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon is one of the coolest and most captivating natural landscapes on the planet. People come from all over the globe to take in Grand Canyon National Park's awe-inspiring vistas, with many of them staying at Yavapai Lodge, from historic sites like Desert View to strenuous hikes down to the canyon floor. The Grand Canyon is a one-of-a-kind experience. Similarly unique are the reports of a mythical creature said to dwell near these parts, the Mongolian monster. Now, the Mongolian, pronounced Mugian. Monster is not a household name. It's not up there with aliases like Bigfoot and a lot of monsters. It might even be on the second tier with characters like the Mothman, Chupacabra, and Ogopogo. Yet the Mugian monster has been part of a local folklore for generations. In fact, the first Sacramento newspaper account of the monster took place in 1903. The creature gets named from the Mongolian Rim, from about a 3-hour drive from the Grand Canyon. That's where the initial sightings took place. From the Christians of eyewitnesses, the Mongolian monster sounds like a Sasquatch's southern cousin, more than 7 feet tall and bipedal with wild, unkempt hair. In its spare time, it builds nests out of pine needles and twigs. The Mongolian monster is thought to be omnivorous, which means it would love to yam pines, delicious potatoes, street tacos, and eerie stillness is said to foreshadow its appearance. Though the Mongolian monster is also known for its blood-curdling scream. Yavapai Lodge is known for being one of the most pet-friendly resorts in America. You thought to bring your best friend along, you're more than welcome to. That usually means dogs and cats, and sometimes rabbits or snakes. It does not, however, include two cougars. Which may be a good thing, seeing as how a man named I.W. Stevens reported observing the Mongolian monster drinking the blood of a pair of cougars. So if you don't bring a cougar along with you to Yavapai, you'll stay off the Mongolian monster's radar. The scientific community isn't sold on the Mongolian monster. Local anthropologists tend to think the first reports of the creature could have been grizzly bears, which called Grand Canyon home during the 1930s. Yet, reports were persist. A Whitewater, Arizona resident have claimed to have seen the creature a number of times, as recently as 2004. The rumors around the Mongolian monster's existence are far from sold at this point, though the creature is fixture in campfire stories are and has a 100-mile endurance race named after it. When it's certain the Yavapai Lodge offers an okay, this is trying something in the lodge. Okay. Okay. Anything else? Something. Hey, while you're here, you got some change in money in your pocket. Let's do a cool thing and go to extralife.org and donate to some children's hospitals. My friend, Cade Bengert. Is that his name right? I hope I'm saying that right, man.
Sorry, I'm messing it up. But, yeah. I'll leave a link. I'll share a page on the Facebook page and on Twitter so you can donate to Extra Life for Kids. Help those kids out, man. Do it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Monster Legend Podcast. Or to find more information about Monster Legend Podcast, go to monsterlegendpodcast.com or anchor.fm/monsterlegendpodcast. There you can find all episodes and platforms on which the podcast is on, which you can subscribe to. You also can email me with questions that will be answered on the show. Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.